To preach tonight a sermon entitled Sin. Isaiah 59. If you turn your Bibles, Isaiah 59. You know, there's a saying that says, you cannot sin and win. And I believe that to be true tonight. The book of Isaiah, chapter 59. The word of God says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, he's talking about us, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their egg dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Verse 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you tonight. Help us to understand, God, that your word is always faithful. Help us to understand that, God, those crooked paths would be made straight. And those rough edges, God, will be made smooth tonight. Help us in all things to know who you are. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. See, tonight, this evening, how many know that sin is not the most exciting thing to talk about? Tell me about how I'm going to be blessed, Pastor. Tell me about the promises. Tell me about how I'm going to be able to get all things. But listen, sin is not an exciting thing to talk about, but we have to be able to fully understand what it is. See, how you and I tonight react to sin will make a difference for all eternity. In our text, it describes sin for what sin is: murder, filth, lies, corruption, unfairness, dishonesty, evil deeds, violence, destruction, and we can go on and on and on about the things that sin, amen, brings into our life. So what exactly is sin? Sin is defined as fundamentally missing God's mark of perfection. It is defined as any thought, word, action, omission that goes against the holy standards, the will, and the law, leading to rebellion, disobedience, and ultimately, folks, It leads you and I to be separated from God himself. The Hebrew word for sin is kata, K-H-A-T-A. It means to miss the mark. And while the Greek word, amen, it entails about a lawlessness, a transgression that encompasses both doing wrong and failing. How many know that there's one thing to do wrong, but there's another thing to fail to do right? The Bible says in James 4:17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him, the Bible says, it is sin. See, 1 John 3:4 says sin is the transgression of the law. What it means is that it means breaking God's command. Sin is rebellion against one thing, and that is, folks, it is there and it is against God's authority. It is a desire to be independent. How many have ever said, I make my own decisions? I make my own things. And how many of us have found ourselves because of those decisions that you said, this guy can do it or that gal can do it? You find yourself, amen, suffering from the repercussions of your own decisions. God is the creator, the Bible says, of all of everything, the universe, the people, the animals. God is, amen, the creator of all, amen, morality. If you know who God is, then you will know, folks, listen, you will know right from wrong. If you do not know who God is, then you will say, I am of good, but amen, my good outweighs my bad. Since God is the creator and is always good and always right, he has given you and I something, and that is his law. We can see it, in his law of a proper way that we are supposed to live our lives as his creation. When we fail to live according to his standards, the Bible says that we sin. God hates sin because it goes against everything that he is. There are many ways that we can sin. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, I believe the children's church is studying this chapter and studying it thoroughly, as we have three superb teachers. Amen. Hallelujah. Miss Andrea, Miss Ava, and Mrs. Bell, Maribel. Amen. Verse 13 through 16, the word of God says, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, I just failed everything. How many believe that going to a store? Listen, I'm not to get off track. I was there at the maintenance department one time, and this lady was with her little boy. She had gotten one of those big packs of strawberries, and I'm talking about not the smaller pack, but we're talking the big pack. And she's just feeding the little boy. The little boy's like, man, I'm enjoying life. And then she says, oh, son, we ran out. Let me throw this one away. Let me go over there and get another one. Is that stealing? I just want to taste it before I eat it. Right? But it blew my mind how this lady was oblivious. Oh, son, you want more? Let's go get another pack. It says, you shall not murder, amen. You shall not commit adultery. Girls come up and, oh, look at that boy. Look at that guy. His muscles are flexing on me. Right? Because girls are like, you guys are dirty, but girls, you guys, look at that man. Right? If you look at him with your desires in your heart, the Bible says that you've already committed, even without the act in your heart, you committed adultery. Let me move on. If you look, that look can kill. See, when we murder, the Bible says it is sin. When we commit adultery, when we steal, when we lie, the Bible says it's sin. See, we sin with our attitudes. In verse 17 of the book of Exodus chapter 20, it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall nor his male servants, nor his female servants, nor his donkey, nor anything that is of your neighbor. See, coveting is wanting somebody else's stuff that's not yours. It is the desire of our heart to want somebody else's things. We may not actually take it, but with our hearts, we want it. That's coveting. When we sin because, listen, folks, it is in our nature. Ephesians 2, verse 3 says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. See, you and I this evening, we are inclined to do what's against God. So where does sin come from? Sin does not come from God. Sin is a complete contradiction to who God is. He cannot sin, amen, and he cannot be blamed for sin. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. He's flawless. The Bible says, that he is inerrant. That means without flaw. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth without injustice, righteous and upright is he. James 1:13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Listen to me, folks. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So ask yourself tonight, if God is good and doesn't cause sin, then why does he let sin happen? Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance and makes everything work out according to his plans. It is a mystery tonight, but God decided that he will let his creation willfully and voluntarily sin. We cannot understand it. See, sin exists and has since, Satan, in heaven, rebelled before God. And as the Bible says, that as he fell, a third of the angels fell alongside with him. Before Adam and Eve sinned, the devil had already sinned. Sin entered our world, though, through Adam and Eve. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. But the Lord warned him, you might freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden, verse 17, except the tree of knowledge of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Can I tell you, from the beginning all the way until, year 2026, if you tell somebody not to do it, guess what they're going to be prone to do? You tell me not to do it, I'm going to show you. And we do it. And we always find repercussions on why we do things. Seems like the more we tell our kids, don't eat it. There was a test that they put cookies in front of a baby. And they told that baby, do not touch it. Don't eat it. The baby immediately was fixated upon those cookies. And little by little, guess what that baby did? Came back, cookies were gone. See, God gave Adam and Eve a choice to obey or a choice to disobey. Genesis 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave, to her husband, and her and he ate. See, they both made the wrong decision. The wrong choice. Because of that tonight, listen, we cannot continue to blame Adam and Eve for our fall, because the same decision that God has given them, he has given you tonight, and you continually fall when things are before you. When things are, listen, I'm not exempt from this. They both made the wrong choice. Adam brought into the world, and now we are all sinners. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as though one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. See, sin, it affects everything about our lives, folks. Our intellect, our emotions, our desires, our heart, our goals, our motives. We may not be as bad as we could be, but we could never be as good. Be good enough to please God and make up for the wages of our sin. I want everybody to turn their Bibles because I want everybody to read this for themselves. Isaiah 64, verse 6. How many, before you get there, how many think that you are decently good? Raise your hand. Decently good? Okay, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, girl. Okay? You don't want to raise your hand. We can't take it back. We got you on video camera already raising your hand. Are we there? Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all, that includes every single one of us in this place, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness are like filthy rags. Go tonight and do something for me. Go to the dirty laundry basket that you've had there waiting for days, and you smell it and you see how good it smells. Just go there where everything is there, your dirty, nasty socks and everything else, and just say, this is how good I am to God. Because that's what our goodness means to God. We are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. See, sin causes all of us tonight to stand and be guilty before a righteous God. Psalms 14:3, they have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, the penalty for sin, beloved, is still one thing. It is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But listen to what God gives you and I tonight. In replacement, the wages of our sin, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So why? I'm glad you asked yourself why. Why do we not die when we sin? The best verse for this is 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slackness concerning his promises. See, the promises of God are still to be fulfilled. But listen to what it says. But is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to one thing, and that is to repentance. See, the reason why, if you're in sin, a lightning bolt does not come and strike you dead is because of Jesus. When Jesus came into this world, he said, Father, I know they're guilty. Father, I know that they've sinned. But I'm giving them an opportunity to repent. As we take that opportunity, we repent. Now the penalty that should be for our sin is now covered under the blood. The blood has covered the multiple of our sins. And that's why we don't die. Because Jesus wants tonight, to give you an opportunity to repent. In other words, he is giving you and I another opportunity. Can I tell you, if you wasted that opportunity, as long as you have breath, there is another opportunity. You wasted that other opportunity, as long as you have breath, you have an opportunity. The danger lies when we play and dabble in sin and we come to death, and now that opportunity is wasted and gone. Gone. God wants tonight to give you an opportunity to repent. Not just to repent, but to be saved tonight. We cannot sin, folks, and think that everything will be all right. I got away with it. Whatever I did, I'm doing it undercover. Can I tell you? God has X-ray vision. Amen? God can see right through the walls of our closet, of our bathroom. He can see what's going on in your phone. You want to come and repent right now? Opportunity is there. He sees all things. When we think that we can hide from God, what we are doing is we are playing Russian roulette and we're pulling the trigger spiritually. And you're saying, "Pah, okay, it didn't kill me." But one of these days, folks, spiritually speaking, that bullet is going to come out and you and I are going to stand before God. And we cannot be justified by the sins that we committed. I made that statement. We cannot sin and win. God is giving you and I tonight an opportunity to get right. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. You're here tonight. You're not right with God. You're here tonight. You're a backslider. You're here tonight and you want to be forgiven of your sins. Would you simply do one thing? The only reason we do this is so that we know who to pray for. You came into this place tonight and you're not right with God. But you don't want to leave in the same way. Would you simply do one thing? Would you lift up your hand and say, "Pastor, would you pray for me?" Just simply lift it up, folks. I want to pray for you tonight. You're not right with God. You're away from God. You want to be right. Would you lift up your hand? Quickly, quickly, lift it up. Why not? Come here, young man. Why not? Anton, would you come and pray with him? What's your name?
Josh.
Josh. Jesus loves you, man. He loves you. He cares about you. And he wants to bring a hope to Josh's life. That is nice. That's what God is there and can give you tonight. Anton right here is going to pray with you, okay? Thank you, Josh. Maybe tonight, you've thought about, it's in your heart, it's in your desires, it's in you, and you're going and finding yourself towards a path that is going to destroy your life. God tonight is giving you and I a great opportunity. Before you proceed, stop, lay hold of God, and say, God, I cannot continue. Whatever the case might be, God, I need to follow you. I need to be completely right with you. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God, folks. Come, lay hold of God. Come, lay hold of God. Before you make that decision, come, lay hold of God. Rabba randolo baba randolo bando. I'm in a relationship that is not good for me. Stop, lay hold of God. I'm beginning, listen, when we lie, what we got to do is we got to lie to cover the lie that we said. So now we got to continually be a habitual liar. When we steal, when we covet, what we're doing is we're taking something that is not ours, and God says that is sin. Tonight, God wants to set us free. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, God, I pray for Josh. Father, touch him, God. In Jesus' name, God, clear his mind, his heart, his thoughts. God, I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, touch him. God, you move, Father, powerfully, mightily, God. Help him in the name of Jesus. Tócalo, Señor, poderosamente. Father, touch them. God, I pray. God, move. Father, help them. Oh, God, we trust in you. Father, we believe in you. God, God, we come to you tonight, God. Father, we love you, Lord. God, touch them. Shia Rabando. Oh, God, move powerfully. God, we love you, Father, upon this place tonight. God, we come to you, God, asking you, God, to help us. Help us, God. God, as we need you in this place, God, we cannot be in what we do. God, we give our lives fully, fully unto you, God. It's not an easy subject, folks, but it's something that needs to be said. It's not something that we want to acknowledge, but it's something that God wants us to acknowledge. That the wages of sin will lead us to a complete separation for eternity from God. If we continue in sin. Read Galatians 5. You're going to be like, oh, I'm doing that. Oh, God. Before you start reading Galatians 5, you better repent. Amen? Because one portion talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And then the other portion comes and it's like, but we need it. How many know we need to be corrected by God? Because if we are doing things that we are not supposed to, God shows us the right steps to always take, folks. Pastor, do you think it's right? Well, let's find what it says in the Word of God. And then you compare what you are doing to what God says. And if it's right with what the Word of God says, then I guess it's right, right? But how many know that when we sin, we are doing things that are going against what God desires and what God wants? So let's be right tonight. Amen. Let's walk as the weights have come off. As we leave tonight, that we can say, God, I still have a hope. Because you wish that none should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. And can I tell you, that's my hope, not only for myself personally, but for every single one of you. That as we sin, we can get right with God and say, God, let me turn from the error of my ways. Let me get right with you. That I can be able to walk cleanly in what you desire for me. John, won't you close us in prayer?